Father, I thank you for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And we're using that light now. Search out every trace of darkness and expel them from our lives. We receive strength. We receive grace in the name of the Lord Jesus, even this morning from the word of God, and receive encouragement. Thank you, Father, and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so in our series of overcoming all these fiery darts of the enemy, today I want to come against discouragement and disappointment. The space given for the title of this room was too short, so I just abbreviated it. You know, but God has given us some antidotes for discouragement and disappointment. You know, he's given us a lot of encouragement in the scriptures and the promise of fulfillment. So that's what we will be getting in place of disappointment and discouragement. We'll be getting encouragement and fulfillment. And I call it, well, together, I call that a lifting up. Praise the Lord. So let's consider these scriptures that, you know, the Lord will make us understand from these scriptures today what assurances he has given us. On the negative side, discouragement and disappointment are great tools in the hand of the devil. You know, and he's quick to point out where there have been failures and stuff like that, you know, to try to use that to say, well, you know, you didn't make it last time. Well, what makes you think you'll make it now? You're going to fail. You could not attain before. You will not attain this time around either. And it could be a lot of different things, you know. Even you can look at situations around you, say, well, see what happened to that person. Or why do you think you're going to be any different? You know, they didn't make it. They failed. You know, that disease got them down. They got killed and so forth. Why do you think you're going to make it? And many voices that the devil will bring of discouragement and even disappointment. A few stories, you know, in the Bible that I want to share. But I'm going to focus more on the positive. A lot of the scriptures that we will be sharing today will be more on the positive side. Praise the Lord. You know, for us to see how that God encourages us in the face of discouragement and disappointment. Go through the scriptures from the Old Testament, clear on through the New Testament. Many words of admonition and encouragement. And, you know, when things look bleak, when things don't look like how they should be, and when we don't quite attain to our expectations, well, remember one thing, that the Lord has foreseen it. He has already said it ahead of time. So let me start here by first talking about why we may experience disappointments and discouragements from time to time. You know, I mean, why is it that everything is just not, you know, rosy and good all the time? Well, there's a simple answer, which I've also talked about before, but because, you know, it's pertinent to this exhortation, I will say it again. The simple answer is given here in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and verse 14. It's, you know, the simple answer. In the day of prosperity, he said, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. And adversity could be any number of things. It could be disappointment. It could be failure. It could be sickness. It could be disease. It could be losses. It could be, you know, all kinds of things. Anything negative, contrary to wellness, to wholeness, to happiness, to success, to progress. You know, all of that could be adversity. So he says, well, you're going to have some prosperity. So when you do, rejoice. Be joyful. But he also calls out that you will have some adversity. You know, it'll be, you know, probably the thing that we would think ideal, but it's not even ideal because God's ways are ideal. You know, we might think, well, why should we have adversity? Why not always prosperity? Well, here is the reason. He said, God also has set the one over against the other. That means God put them side by side to the end that man should find nothing after him. You know, so he wants your hope, your trust, your dependency to be on the Lord. You know, so, because sometimes, you know, when people are up, they forget. And sometimes they, you know, it takes some, you know, act of them coming down to make them to cry out to God again. You know, and when it is dark in the night, there is an opportunity to look forward to the dawning of the day. And that's, you know, that gives hope as well. You know, so as I have often said, that the Lord from the beginning, when he called out the light out of darkness, he left the darkness in place, gave it a name, called it night, called the light day. He left the two of them side by side from the beginning. And so it is till this day. It could have always been light if he had said, let the darkness be no more. But he didn't say that. So we see that he allowed about half and half the day, you know, darkness. I mean, you know, to cover half of, you know, the day, and the light to cover half of the other day. But as far as he's concerned, the one half that is light is the one that he actually calls day. The other part that is darkness, he called it night. But he put them out there side by side. So there will be successes. There will be advancements. There will be jubilations. There will be celebrations. There will be all these things, the good stuff. But unfortunately, well, fortunately or unfortunately, sometimes there will also be, you know, setbacks of disappointment and discouragement that the enemy may try to take advantage of, you know. So, but what should be our posture as we face different things, you know, that may bring setback? You know, a setback is a series of events that may culminate in us being behind where we thought we should have been. You know, so, but, well, it is what it is. No matter how we find ourselves there, if you are there, there is a word of encouragement and a lifting up today. And that's where these scriptures are coming from. So, but before I get into all these scriptures of encouragement, let me tell a quick story. You know, maybe one or two quick stories. You know, there is one story here that I love, and I've shared it several times. It goes with this lesson, so I'll share it again. It is the story of David at Ziklag. And you can read that in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. And in this story, there were many reasons, you know, even facing lynching. They were about to kill David because the men that were with him followed him to a war that did not even concern them. And before they came back, you know, their families who had been, their city had been rampaged, you know, they have taken their wives, the children and everything. And the people were grieved. In fact, they cried, were told, you know, even David himself and all of them, they cried and wept bitterly until there was no more strength in them to weep. I mean, so very, very bleak situation, you know, because they had come in there, the enemies had come in there, the Amalekites. They burnt the place, took the women, you know, and everything. Well, they didn't, you know, thank God they didn't kill anybody, but they took everything, great or small. Carry them away. And so when David and his men came to the city and they beheld it, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captives. Now verse 4, 1 Samuel 30. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Just imagine that. You know, I don't know how long that took, but it might have been hours. Because, you know, you probably have power to weep for quite some time. You know, so they wept, they lamented, possibly for hours, until there was no more strength in them to weep. And David considered, his own wives then were taken. Everybody considered, you know. Their children, everything was gone. All they had left was a burnt down city. So the people were so grieved. David himself was distressed. And the people spake that of stoning him. All of this came upon us because of you. You dragged us into fighting, you know, for these Philistines. So, you know, something that not even concern us. And so on and so forth. So anyway, they were so distressed. But here he was, David's response. Now, this is the kind of response that we must use and employ when we face situations. This was David's own situation. Yours could be whatever else it looks like. But David, we're told, encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, so whereas there were all these things around him, wives gone, children gone, city burned down, everybody talking of stoning him and so forth, he crying out with others, everyone lamenting, nothing left in them to cry, you know, but he found strength to encourage himself, you know, and strength by encouraging himself. You know, so how did he do it? Well, he said here in Psalm 42, he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" You know, that is, he challenged himself. And he will remind himself of all the goodness of the Lord. He was someone that knew how to do that. He reminded himself about the lion and the bear when he went to face Goliath. And here, a good chance he remembered the goodness of the Lord in different times. He said, "I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and even of the Harmonites and from the hill Milzah. I will remember thee." He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" Said it multiple times in this verse, chapter 42. And then once again in 43. He said, he challenged his soul. Hope thou in God, he said to himself, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Well, you know, that's one way of getting lifting up. You know, that may be sometimes when there is nobody around to lift you up. Well, you and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit can get encouragement. You know, and it's great when there are people around, because, you know, the Bible says it's actually not good for someone to walk alone, because if they fall, there's nobody to help them. But if there are two of them, one falls, the other will lift him up, encourage him, and so forth. You know, and hopefully that's the kind of person that you are walking with. You don't want someone who's going to, you know, crush you when you are even down already. You know, but you want someone who's going to speak, lift up words and encourage you. But remember, even if there is nobody, the Lord is always in your corner. And the scriptures we will give you today will help in that direction. The other story that I want to tell quickly, and then I'll give you those scriptures, is the man, the story of the man in John, you know, chapter 5. This one is in the canon of the Bible called the New Testament. So now we see this man, the story, as we're told, is that because of the goodness of the Lord at that time, you know, sometime at a certain season, an angel went down and stirred this pool, you know, that was there, you know, by this Bethesda. And in that place was a great multitude of impotent folk. But when this angel went and stirred the pool at a certain time, whoever first stepped into that water after the stirring of the pool, he was made whole of whatever sickness or disease he had. So this man also coming, but each time he was disappointed. And we'll find his disappointment here, you know, when Jesus saw him. And he had been in that condition for 38 years. And Jesus knew that when he saw him, and he asked him, would thou be made whole? And the man's response would reveal his disappointment. But he was not entirely discouraged. You can be disappointed. Well, it would be tragic if you allow that disappointment to bring discouragement. And that's what the devil wants. This man, he wasn't actually discouraged to the point where he didn't keep trying, because he kept coming. But he told Jesus, he said, well, would I be made whole? But of course. This is the reason why I'm camped out here with everybody else. And we're all hoping, you know, and he began to tell Jesus, you know, the thing, you know, look, you know, we're all here, but the only one person gets healed, and we're all hoping that, and I've been hoping that it'll be my turn, and I come out here, you know, every time. We don't know exactly when, but we know it's around this time, you know, but we got to wait until the angel moves the water. And, you know, at that time, and it's happened before, and every time I try to get in, you know, because someone gets in ahead of me, and they are healed and I'm not. And I have to go home disappointed, you know. So this man, he went home disappointed. We don't know how many times that he came and he went home disappointed, but he was not discouraged. He came back and tried again. See, so there is a difference between disappointment and discouragement. Discouragement is a complete letdown. You know, the air has gone out of the balloon. You know, you just like, look, you're just flat out. You just have no strength, no strength to continue, and so on. You just give up. That's discouragement. Quit. Physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, otherwise, any way, which way you can want to call it, just quit. this man didn't quit. He kept coming. If he would have quit, we would not have experienced this encounter with the Christ. But he didn't quit. He kept coming. And Jesus, he just looked at him and had compassion on him. Now, remember, ladies and gentlemen, there are many elements in this story that we can consider. You know, think about this story at your own time. But there were a great number of impotent folk in that place. Why was it that on this particular day, Jesus only healed this one person? There was a lot of them, you know. And, you know, in fact, there were others that would have seen and heard of his story later on and say, wow, why not me? That in itself, again, can bring discouragement, you know. But this, you know, this man was the one that Jesus would heal on this day. Jesus, he had to turn his attention away from the water and the angel. And it's not about the water and it's not about the angel, Jesus said. Today, I'm right here. Take up your bed and walk up. Woohoo! You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, when we are expecting something from the Lord, you know, we don't need to put God in a box of how he's going to do it. This is the way he's done it before. So that's the way we expect it to be. Well, be expectant. That's good. But how the Lord's going to do it, well, that's up to him. He may use the method that he's used before. That's up to him. Or he may do it in a different way. That's up to him too. You know, but if we only think that, well, you know, the only way this man thought the only way for him to get his miracle was, you know, he had to be the first. I mean, there were just so many circumstances that stacked up against him. You know, first he had to get the timing right. And next, he had to be the first to step into that water. Everybody's struggling. Whoever's feet get in first will be. And he's had a few tries in the past, maybe even several. And he didn't make it. He was not the first. You know, and then so, you know, he may not be the first again. The devil man had told him, well, you're not going to make it. You know, why do you even bother? I mean, you've tried many times and you're not going to make it. Don't waste your time. The devil tells us things like that. But the man tried. He kept coming. And one day he was rewarded. Because of his importunity, you know, his, you know, the fact that he was persistent and resilient in coming, you know, one day, but you know, he was the only one that Jesus targeted at this time around. And there were a lot of other people there. Well, maybe the Lord left those for the disciples to go deal with. I don't know. But there was a lot of impotent folk there that were not healed on that day. But this man, the lesson we learned from him was that he kept coming. Even though he had no clue that he was going to encounter a miracle on this particular day, it was one of the days where he came anyway. So, those are two stories that I wanted to share with us today. The one story of David that encouraged himself, in the face of disappointment, discouragement, and even the threat of losing his life, being killed, he encouraged himself. Story of this man in the face of multiple attempts and not making it, and, you know, room for him to be discouraged, but he was not discouraged. Multiple disappointments, but not discouraged. He kept coming. You know, so with those two stories in mind, let's share some scriptures of encouragement. You know, so here is Deuteronomy chapter 31. We've used this scripture in this series already, but it goes in line with this, and I will give it again. Deuteronomy chapter 31, two verses there in verses 6 and 8, where the Lord would tell us and give, you know, encouragement. We used it when we talked about fear and anxiety and so forth. But there's also an encouragement in those scriptures. So let's read it again. Be strong and of a good courage. That's encouragement right there. You know, say, so take courage, you know, be encouraged. Fear not, nor be afraid. The Lord thy God, he is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee. You know, if no matter if the situation looks so bleak, you know, or so overwhelming, remember, he will not fail thee and he will not forsake thee. So that's a good encouragement. And he said the same thing, almost word for word, you know, in verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither will he forsake you. Fear not, and be not dismayed or discouraged. Don't give up. Don't let up. And don't throw the towel in. It's what he's saying here, because the Lord will be with you. You know, so encouragement and lifting up comes for us when, you know, even in the face of all these things, there are many scriptures. God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, you know, and verse 9, give him encouragement. Now, the task at hand was overwhelming, but Joshua in his mind, he already knew he could do it. And he said, well, if the Lord be with us, we'll do it. We can go in there. We can get the place. You know, we these people will be bread for us. Their strength is departed from us. The Lord will be with us. I mean, he and Caleb encouraged the people, whereas the other 10 spies, just discouraged and weakened the people, you know, by their stories of fear and everything. But this Joshua man, you know, God saw that he had some fire in him and he was able to do it. And he said, and the Lord told him, only be thou strong and very courageous. So that's also courage, you know, encouragement. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. And don't turn away from it to the left or the right, so that you may prosper whithersoever thou goest. And he told him that, look, you must meditate. You know, part of your victory and how you're going to get this victory and be successful is you must meditate on this word day and night. You must not depart from your mouth. Speak the word. Ha, hallelujah. You know, don't speak anything negative, but speak that word. And thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, he said in verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. Now that's encouragement from the Lord. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. That's a powerful, powerful encouragement. Well, let's see the way, you know, this lifting up, how Job puts it, you know, in the book of Job, chapter 22, verse 29, how the scripture puts it there. You know, it started out in verse 21 by saying, you know, acquaint now thyself with the Lord. You know, when you draw near to him, you know, when things are going well, draw near to him. When things are going bad, draw near to him as well. Some people have the habit of pulling away from the Lord, either because, you know, things are good, they are too high, you know, they think, and they forget the Lord. Others even pull away from the Lord when things are bad, because they are discouraged, and they pull away. They separate themselves, you know, and they, you know, feel all alone, and they, you know, fall victim into that, you know, feeling all alone, that loneliness kind of feeling, you know. So, but here he says in Job 22 and 29 that, look, there is a lifting up in the face of being cast down. And if you draw yourself near to the Lord and you do all those things from verses 21 through right about 28, you acquaint yourself with him and so forth. Well, he promised you a lot of things, prosperity even, but here he promises that, look, while others are cast down, there will be a lifting up for you. That's one way of reading that verse. And you can also turn around and give others a lifting up. But, you know, I want to focus on you this morning. You know, when people are saying there is a casting down, you will be saying that there is a lifting up. Hallelujah. That's encouragement in the face of downcastedness that the Lord, you know, he can turn things around. Glory to God. And he will lift you up. Praise God. So let's consider a few more scriptures for encouragement. Hallelujah. Psalm 33 verses 18 and 19. Now remember, we are on the subject of disappointment and discouragement and what the Lord will say to us in the face of those things, you know, to encourage us. You know, here's what the Lord said. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercy. And this is encouragement. No matter what you're going through, even in the face of death, you know, he said to deliver their soul from death. Amen. And keep them alive in famine. That's encouragement. A situation may be so bad that you may consider it almost a famine, but Lord said he'll keep you alive, keep your soul alive. He will deliver you, your soul, even from death. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's an encouragement, no matter what we are going through. Believe the Lord for these deliverances. Yesterday we dealt on 2 Timothy 4 and 18. The Lord gave me by dream overnight and said, well, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Oh, that's him encouraging himself. And preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory and praise forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Psalm 36, verses 7 through 9. More encouragements from the scriptures. Let's take a look at what this one says in Psalm 36. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Now, for those that do put their trust in the shadow of his wings, they, even they, shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is a fountain of life, and in thy light we shall see light. Praise the Lord. So that's encouragement. That the Lord, he will make you enjoy the goodness of his presence, fatness of his house, or the goodness of his presence. You will enjoy it. Praise the Lord. So don't be discouraged, no matter what it looks like now. Encouragement is right there. Praise God. We've already read Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11, where David encouraged himself. Praise the Lord. Here's another one in Psalm 103. We all know these scriptures, Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. But I want to, you know, stress verse 5 for just a bit. This is the place where David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his Lord, and all that. You know, but here are all the things that he believes, you know, in the encouragement of the Lord, that the Lord can do for him, you know. And no matter what it looks like on the outside, he said, the Lord will satisfy my mouth with good things. My youth will be renewed like the eagles. That's encouragement. You know, believe the Lord that he can renew your youth like the eagles. You know, but there are times, you know, things were not always rosy for David. You knew how all the things he went through. In fact, in Psalm 102, he poured out his heart before he got to his Psalm 103. I mean, all the things that he he was going through. He said in Psalm 102, verse 3, my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned as an heart. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. I mean, he was going through a lot of stuff. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican in the wilderness, like an owl in the desert. And I'm as a sparrow upon the housetop. He feels all alone, you know, pelican in the wilderness, owl in the desert, sparrow on the housetop, and so forth. He said, even my enemies reproach me all day. They are mad against me, are sworn against me. I ate ashes, you know, was my food. My goodness, you know, I mingled my drink with weeping. My indignation, of the Lord, he thought it was even upon me. He said, look, my days are like a shadow that declined. I'm withered like the grass. And he began to, you know, just moan in all his troubles. But the good thing is he never stopped there. Yes, you know, he cried out. Yes, he acknowledged his sin. Yes, he acknowledged his problems. Yes, he acknowledged his troubles. But he was had enough sense to know to reach out to the Lord and to encourage himself in the Lord. And he said, look, the Lord's going to revive me. And he's going to, renew my youth and so forth. So, a lot of encouragement. We can encourage ourselves also with the Lord. With the scriptures. Encourage ourselves in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 145. Let me just read a few verses there. Verses 15 to perhaps 19. Some encouragement again. More encouragement for us in the Word of God. As you go through, and we will go through. We are always going through. So, you know, here is what the psalm says. The eyes of all wait upon thee. There's an encouragement here that the Lord will give you your meat in due season. The Lord will open his hand and he will satisfy your desire. That's right. You know, and he says here, the Lord is nigh unto them that call him. All that call upon him in truth. That's verse 18. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry, and he will save them. Now, so that's encouragement. You say, the Lord is coming to your rescue. When you are crying, that means things are bad. You know, but yet the Lord will hear, and the Lord will, you know, encourage you. He said, the Lord will preserve all them that love him, you know, and so on. So there's encouragement for us from the Word of God. Now, things may be good today. You may say, well, why is he saying all these things? Well, because it may be a day from now, or 2 days from now, or sometime this week, you're going to need this encouragement. Trust me. Proverbs, chapter 10, let's see, what the Lord, has to say to us in some more of these scriptures as we go through. Encouragements. All the time for us. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24, the last part says, the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Now, that's an encouragement. It may also be, considered as a promise. It's a word from the Lord, but it's an encouragement that your desire, because you're walking in God's righteousness, shall be granted, even though it may take long, but it will be granted. You know, that's what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 23 and verse 18. I love this one. You know, for surely, he said, there is an end. So that's an encouragement. You know, when you are going through the night, just like the psalmist said in Psalm 30 and verse 5, that though sorrow may endure for a night, yet joy is coming in the morning. And the way I choose to read that is, well, the darkness of the night cannot last forever. The night can only go so far because God has ordained it. There must be night and there must be day, side by side, at least for now. You know, so that's the way it is. when we are in the night, well, we can look forward to the day, because the night cannot last forever. At some point in time, the day must break. Praise the Lord. And, you know, that's what he's saying here. There is an end. Surely, he said, there is an end. There's an end to, you know, the difficulties, the apparent disappointments, failures, setbacks, and whatever else you're going through that's negative right now. There is an end to it. And your expectation shall not be cut off. Now, this is a good scripture for you to take a hold of. There is an end to your troubles. There's an end to the sign and the mourning and the distress and so forth. Whatever you may be going through, maybe even illness, maybe sickness. There's an end to it. Hallelujah. Our expectation, even for our brother that's in ICU now, is for him to come out of there, his bones put back together, and he'll be whole. That's our expectation. There's an end to this problem right now. It's coming. The Lord will see to it, because it's in the Word of God. Praise God. So encourage yourselves with these scriptures today. Hallelujah. Here's another good one for you to encourage yourself by. You know, praise the Lord. Expectation shall not be cut off. That's also in Proverbs 24 and verse 14. The last half, the latter half of that scripture. Thy expectation shall not be cut off. What is it that you're expecting from the Lord? Well, let's believe the Lord and keep on believing. Your expectation, we are told, will not be cut off. Don't let the failures or misses, maybe you missed it last time. Don't let that discourage you. You know, the Lord promised Isaiah, you know, prophetically, he spoke it. It was not just for Isaiah, it was, you know, for Jacob, for Israel, and so forth, and then for the people of God. But Isaiah would use it to his own advantage too. The Lord said to him in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, you know, he said, look, I will help you. You know, I mean, that's an encouragement. I will even uphold you with the right hand of my power. The Lord, I mean, when the Lord makes such declarations, let's be bold in the, you know, in those things and wrap, you know, our life around with that promise that the Lord has already given. You know, he said, look, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Wow. When you say it like that, well, Isaiah turned around in verses chapter 50 and verse 7 and say, well, he did say that he will help me, didn't he? That's right. For I know that he will help me. That's right. And therefore will I not be confounded. I will not be confounded. You know, I'm not, you know, going to be confused, perplexed, all these things. The Lord will help me. I won't be discouraged either. I will set my face like a flint. That means, you know, I'm not going to let disappointment, you know, setbacks and these different things and so forth get the better of me. No. Praise God. You know, and I know that I will not be ashamed. You know, that was your memory verse sometime back over a year or so ago. You know, so, you know, these are encouraging words from the Lord in the face of disappointment. You can think of what your own disappointment stories have been. But then there's also success stories. Praise the Lord. In the book of Joel chapter 2, going through this now very quickly, verses 26 to 27, the Lord will talk again about, you know, a promise. Twice in those two verses, he said, my people shall never be ashamed. That's right. You know, so in the things that make us ashamed are setbacks and disappointments, you know, and, you know, to the eyes of the people around, you know, you may not be where you ought to be, setbacks and different things and failures and so forth, but the promise of God has given is that, well, you will not be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Ye shall eat in plenty, he even said. And you will be satisfied. And you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. That's a word of encouragement. You know, when there are things around you that could have brought shame, or maybe bringing shame and causing your head to be bowed down, remind the Lord of this word, that you have said your people shall not be ashamed. Listen to the next verse. And you shall know that I am the, in the midst of Israel, I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Says it, you know, back to back in those two verses. Now, when he repeats something like that, it's because he wants to put an emphasis on it, that you pay attention to it. You will never be ashamed. Isaiah said it. I know I will not be ashamed. Praise the Lord. That's encouragement for us today, no matter what the enemy is trying. Well, let's look at, you know, the Lord. The Lord would give some words of encouragement himself. You know, besides all the times that he said, fear not, and so forth. He'd give us, you know, give us some encouragement. And let's see what he has to say here, you know, in verse 6 of Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. There is a promise that when you are thirsty and hungering after the things of God, you will be filled. So don't let the devil discourage you that, well, you've been praying and there's no answer coming. Well, the Lord said you will be filled. Hallelujah. There will be fulfillment. So, you know, the antidotes to this discouragement and disappointment are encouragement and fulfillment. So I'm talking about the fulfillment part now. And like I said in the beginning, I didn't have enough room to put that full title. So I just called the encouragement and fulfillment. I called it lifting up. You know, but there is fulfillment. God promises you fulfillment. Whereas there have been disappointments and losses and so forth. You know, it's fulfillment from the Lord. Praise God. You know, in the book of Mark 11, verse 24, the Lord will show you that if you know how to do it, you can actually get whatever it is that you are saying. You just have to say it right and not doubt it in your heart. Then you can have what it is that you are saying. You know, and he said, look, what things so ever you desire. When you pray, now this is an encouragement, your prayers will be answered. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Don't let the devil tell you your prayers will not be answered. Perhaps you've been praying for quite a while on something. This man was coming, you know, many times and he wasn't healed because somebody else got in ahead of him, but he kept coming. Well, you also ought to keep praying. And Jesus told several stories to that regard. Told some stories in Luke chapter 18 to the intent that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There was in a city a judge that feared neither God nor regarded man or anything. And a woman came to him, said, "Dear Mr. Judge, please avenge me of my adversary." And the man would not hear her for a while. You know, but she kept coming. Now, Jesus told these stories. This woman kept coming. She would not be denied. She would not be discouraged, even though the man turned a deaf ear. But eventually, because he kept troubling, she kept troubling him. Finally, the man said within himself, "Look, I really don't care about this woman's cause. And, you know, I don't even fear God. But there's only one way to get rid of this woman. Is give her what she wants. Otherwise, she's going to weary me already." And Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. Powerful, powerful lesson in that. Jesus is telling us here that, look, if you will keep asking, don't be discouraged. You're going to get what you want. He told other stories too. He said, look, there was a man one day went and knocked on his friend's door. It was late in the evening. And he said, "Can I please have a loaf of bread to set before my guests who came from out of town? The stores are closed." The man from within answered and said, go away. My kids are already sleeping. You know. And the man kept knocking. And Jesus said, look, this man from within is not going to get up. I mean, he may not get up and give him what he wants because the man is his friend. It's late. He said, go away. But there's one reason why he's going to get up and give it to him. The reason is the man outside keeps knocking and banging on the door and he's not going away. And if you want your children to sleep, you better go and give this man something to get rid of him. And Jesus told these stories. These stories are in the Bible. He said, look, the way to get rid of the man knocking is give him what he wants. So Jesus is saying, look, likewise, ye also don't stop. Keep on asking. The Lord is going to give you what you want, what you are asking. Don't be discouraged. Don't let up. Don't give in. Keep on asking. Keep on believing. Praise God. Now, some people get confused about this very thing. So let me spend 1 or 2 minutes just to straighten it out. So people think, well, you know, once you pray about something, you don't need to pray again. You know, just believe God. Well, yeah, should believe God. But Jesus said you should pray. Men ought always to pray and not to give up. You know, so don't be confused about that. You can pray again. The only thing is just mingle your prayers with thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells you that. Be careful and anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And you come back again tomorrow and say, Lord, I thank you. I know you heard me, you know, but I haven't received it yet. And I remind you, I'm still waiting. And you pray some more. Hallelujah. And then you thank him. And you come back next day. Don't think that it's unbelief for you to not, I mean, to just pray again. And say, just walk away. You know, God's already done it. Or maybe, but you don't quite have it yet. You know it's coming, but you keep on praying. That's what Jesus said. He told many stories. And keep on praying. Keep on believing. You know, don't let anything discourage you. You know, praise the Lord. You know, there is a story of, you know, that Jesus even, you know, tried to, you know, discourage this woman. You know, of course, you know her, you know her, you know, the story of the so-called, you know, Syrophoenician woman and so on. You know, and Jesus said, look, I cannot take children's bread and give it unto dogs. But the woman, she would not be denied. Didn't matter what Jesus said. And Jesus did those things just to show us that even sometimes when the heavens are brass and it looks like you could not get anything from the Lord, well, you keep on believing God and the Lord is going to give you what you want. You know, it's a powerful lesson in the scriptures. To the extent that, you know, I mean, Jesus, many things he tried, you know, to say to her. You can read, there's a story in Mark chapter 7. You can read it also in, you know, Matthew 15 and so on. I mean, these stories are there in the Bible to encourage us, you know. This woman could have been discouraged, but she would not be discouraged. She, in fact, she said, well, yeah, maybe so, but, you know, maybe the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall out of the master's table. And Jesus said, wow. You know, so the Lord, there's many things in the scriptures that try to encourage us, you know, to overcome would-be discouragements, I mean, disappointments and would-be discouragements. Disappointments will come, but the disappointments, the devil will try to use them to discourage you. So how to overcome disappointments and would-be discouragements? These are the stories. These are the reasons why Jesus told us these stories. this woman pierced the veil of time. Jesus said, it's not yet time. I can't take children's bread and give it to dogs. Jesus said, this woman said, yeah, I understand that. However, see, when the Lord tells you something, be listening and latch on to it. You know, Jesus already put a loophole there for the woman, you know, and by the grace of God, the woman caught that loophole. Jesus knew if she was going to say that, you know, and she took advantage of that. I said, well, yeah, but, you know, crumbs will fall from the table. And that's good enough for the dogs. And Jesus said, wow, my lions, powerful stuff. And she said, well, he said, well, your faith made, you know, your daughter whole and so forth. So many lessons in the Bible. Let's quickly read a few other things here. You know, we've read Romans 8 multiple times through this series. Again, I'll just give you the reference. I'm not going to read it. Romans 8, 35 through 39. You know, the assurances that, look, no matter what we go through in life, enemy cannot get the better of us. We should trust in the Lord for his deliverance. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, I will read though. Quit ye like men, he said, be strong in the Lord and stand fast. Quit ye like men. That doesn't mean you should actually give up. No, that's not what he's saying. It means, well, don't be feeble in your minds. That's what that expression, quit ye like men, means. You know, don't give up. You know, don't give in. But, you know, take courage in the Lord. Stand up and fight for what you know is yours. Let the enemy just, you know, like I like to say, don't let the enemy play ping pong with your life. You know, stand up and fight. Take what is yours. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes the devil might take something from you, you know, but, you know, you got to go after him and get it. Praise God. You know, so there is this verse in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. You know, even in 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Philistines said the same things to encourage themselves against the children of Israel. They said, look, these children of Israel, they beat us last time, but quit ye like men, go back again and fight. So the quit ye like men doesn't mean, you can read from that story, I don't have time to read the whole story, doesn't mean give up. It actually means the exact opposite, you know, because, you know, that's what these, you know, Philistines said when they were, you know, when the children of Israel beat them up, they went away, you know, they bestirred themselves and then came back, you know. And so we also must do the same. Don't let the enemy get the better of you. Praise the Lord. You must always fight the victory. And I mean, fight the battle in order to get the victory. When you go into the battle, you know, you're going in to win. You're not going in just to fight, because Christ has already done, you know, what is good for us. So I'll just read one quick verse to you. You can read the whole story in 1 Samuel chapter 4, but I'll just read verse 9. This same quit ye yourselves like men is in 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse 9. This is what the Philistines said to themselves. So that you'll see there that it doesn't mean give up. It's something they said to encourage themselves in the case of defeat. You know, they said, well, be strong and quit ye like men, O ye Philistines, and don't be servants to these Hebrews, you know. No, he said, look, they were your servants before, but now they have the upper hand. So quit ye yourselves like men and fight. So I read this just to tell you that in case you're thinking quit ye like men means you should give up. It's exactly the opposite. Just an expression that they used back then to say, look, don't be feeble in your minds. That's right. So quit ye like men and fight, you know, and the Lord promises that he will give us the victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. We've read this also before. It's a good reference for us to refer to from time to time. All the things that Paul said he went through, buffeted, cast down, thrown down, done this and that and so forth, but never dismayed, never giving up. Keep bouncing, keep coming back. It's what he said. Praise the Lord. And we saw other people in the scriptures that did that as well. Micah did it. He gave his testimony in Micah chapter 7, verse 8. He said, look, when you punch me down, knock me down, I will get up. And even when I sit in darkness and it looks like there is nothing from the Lord, the devil will tell you, God's voice is so far from you. You're not going to hear from him because now you are sitting in darkness. In the days of light, rejoice. When you sit in darkness, consider that the Lord will still be a light unto you. Praise the Lord. This man, he wouldn't give up. Habakkuk wouldn't give up. Habakkuk said, look, you know, in Habakkuk chapter 3, you know, verses 17 and so on, he said, look, although the fig tree shall not blossom, you know, everything is cut off. He lost everything. Lost his job, lost his, you know, means of livelihood, you know, his investments, everything. All of those things gone. And no hope of them coming back, you know. But he said, look, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength. And he's going to encourage himself. You know, make my feet like hinds feet. Make me to walk upon my high places. Isn't that wonderful? Well, did the Lord say or not this year that he will cause you to experience a quantum leap? Hallelujah. Praise God. It's like a quantum leap. And I can see people around me experiencing that already. Rejoicing with a family yesterday. It seems to just be a quantum leap in their family. You know, people graduating from med school, others going into med school, God healing and delivering them. I mean, things, just positive things. Well, you believe God too. Hallelujah. You know, God will give you this thing this year. He's got plenty to dish out. He's already dishing it out. Claim yours. Praise God. Don't let disappointments lead to discouragement. But contrarywise, encourage yourself in the Lord. I am going to pray over the room. I am going to trust that the Lord will give you the understanding. But one last verse in Galatians 6 and 9, I'll say this. He says, look, in due season, if you faint not, well, if you do not allow yourself to be discouraged. So that's where we're going to end today's lesson. And I'm going to use that as my prayer wrap up for the room today. You know, the Lord, you know, he will give you the victory, but you must determine within yourself that you will not give up. That's what says here. Don't be weary. Well, doing. Don't give up. Don't fold in and say, well, you know, all these things I'm doing, nothing came out of it anyway. I'm trying, I'm believing God, and I'm not making it, so why even bother? Just pack it in. That's what the enemy would like. Would like you to pack it in. But Jesus will tell you today, don't pack it in. Do it again. Praise the Lord. He told Peter in Luke chapter 5, do it again. Go back out there. Cast your net again on this side rather than that side. And you're going to get a great catch. Hallelujah. Do it again. Don't give up. Come back in to the Lord and get a hold of the Lord yet once again. Praise God. And he will sustain you and he will give you the victory. Father, I thank you for everyone that listened to these scriptures this morning. May the scriptures be encouragement to everyone, those who are here now and those who come later. And through the strength of these scriptures, we arm ourselves, we guard ourselves, you know, to fight against disappointments and would-be discouragement. And though disappointments may come, we believe that all things will eventually work together for our good, and we will not be discouraged. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We keep believing and keep asking and keep trusting and keep praying and thanking Him for the results. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Strengthen, Lord, all our brethren, all your children that are in here, the brothers, the sisters, their families, and the things that are in their hearts that they are believing God for. Though it tarry long, the scripture says, wait for it, or it will not tarry any longer. Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 and 28. For my word, saith the Lord, unto you shall no longer be prolonged. But the word that I have spoken shall come to pass. That's an encouragement right there. The devil tells you, you know, how long have you been waiting? How long have you been trying? Now, what makes you think that this year will be any better? It'll be just like the other. Be even as bad or even worse. You're not going to make it. Well, those are voices that we must silence and say the word of the Lord will come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged, neither shall he be dismayed. Delayed, according to Ezekiel 12, 25 and 28. But the word that I have spoken, saith the Lord, shall come to pass swiftly, even for you. Thank you, Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.